What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Many of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, which is my effort to find the most interesting people in the world and sit with them for hours while I ask questions in an effort to learn. So it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe to the show on your favorite audio platform, watch episodes on YouTube, and tell your friends and family about the podcast. My goal is to help millions learn from the world's most interesting people. So let's get into today's episode.
Today's episode is with Cyrus Shirazi. He's the founder and CEO of Haven, a brand new company that is dedicated to focusing on exactly how to solve all of your accounting needs as a startup founder or business owner. Their whole idea is to over-index on quality, talk to their customers a lot, and make sure that they provide the best customer service in the industry. I've invested in Haven, and I'm incredibly impressed by Cyrus and his team. In this conversation, we talk about how to build a venture scalable business with a service, not an actual technology product, and why being profitable early on may actually be a huge advantage for a company like this. This conversation is very overarching on a number of different topics that startup founders constantly think about, including how to identify great talent, what they're doing operationally to be efficient and effective, how they can actually identify whether a customer is good or not, and what exactly Cyrus's long-term vision for this company is. I really hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Here is my episode with Cyrus Shirazi.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Today's episode is brought to you by Espresso, the maker of the world's thinnest portable display. Now listen up, if you're like me, you feel like you are at a command center when you sit down at your desk. I got a gazillion tabs open and different windows for different activities. There's my web browser, my text messages, I have Slack open, and I got a notes app. I normally work on a desktop and it can be very, very productive. But everything falls apart the second I leave my desk. If I'm traveling, if I go to a coffee shop to do some work, or just want to work from the kitchen table. My laptop doesn't have enough screen space. I lose my command center and my productivity falls off a cliff. It's a major problem. But this is where Espresso comes in. They have a portable screen that is so beautiful that you think Steve Jobs came back from the dead to create it. The thing is incredibly light, it comes with a nice stand, and the user interface is so easy that I figured it out. How to do it in less than 3 minutes. If you listen to this podcast, you know that's not an easy feat. So the Espresso team and I, we became friends. I got to know them because I really liked the product. And those screens, they now want to offer them to any fan of the podcast. So we struck a little deal. Here's how it works. Anyone who listens to this podcast can go to us.espres.so. Or, that's too confusing, just go click the link in the description. If you go to Espresso's website, they've got a brand new offer there sitting for you. You get a little discount and you'll get a beautiful screen. Trust me, I use mine every day. You'll love the Espresso screen, and I think it'll make you more productive. Go check them out today by clicking on the link in the description. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Do you like making a profit from sports betting? Well, set yourself up to take home the most profit possible using crypto to fund your sports betting, casino, and poker account at betonline.ag. You can avoid costly transaction fees, get your payouts lightning fast, and do it all securely and anonymously with the highest deposit and withdrawal limits in the industry. If you want to get in on the action, do it the smart way with crypto at betonline.ag. Head to the website, sign up with promo code POMP100 to get 100% bonus on your crypto deposit today. If you go and you deposit, they'll give you 100% bonus if you use promo code POMP100. BetOnline, the game starts here. BetOnline.ag, go check them out today. All right, guys, bang, bang. Cyrus, I thought a great place to start this conversation is you got a really interesting background. Obviously, you've got the accounting understanding. You're a crypto native. You've been into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency since 2016. But also, you've been into early stage startups. And it feels like a lot of these different experiences in your life are coming together here. And you all want to build an accounting service that is venture backable, that is profitable for startups. That sounds like a death mission. That sounds like pulling all the things together that are impossible to do, but you guys are doing it and it seems to be working so far. So maybe describe a little bit, like, what are the problems that these early stage startups are experiencing on the accounting side? And like, why are traditional accounting firms not really able to solve it for them?
Yeah, so first and foremost, the reason I love this space so much is because it's the graveyard of empires. What I mean by that is basically no one's reached like their maximum potential in this industry. You can look at all the other players. But why do I get out of bed every day to do what I do? Because I love working with founders and I'm obsessed. I'll probably die 5 to 10 years sooner than I otherwise would have because I'm always on. Whether it's Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, I'm always there for the customer. And we're building in like a really, really hard space. And how are we doing it better than everyone else? We're just over-indexing on providing like an exceptional service quality. I think that an incremental advantage that businesses kind of shy away from or have forgotten about is customer service when it comes to financial services specifically, especially in accounting. And the reason I ultimately launched Haven as like a full stack firm is because I talked to probably close to, if not more than 1,000 founders in 2023 and heard the same theme from all of them. My accountant won't answer my calls. They never get back to me on time. They don't get things done on time. And I was so personally frustrated by that. And then I was like, let's do it. And took Haven to market in August of 2023. We had roughly 5 customers. And as things stand today, we have 117 without raising a dollar up until a few weeks ago. And yeah.
And so when we talk about accounting services for startups, like what are you doing on a day-to-day basis? Are you literally just like counting revenue, counting profit, counting losses, you know, doing traditional accounting, or are there other aspects to it?
So it's really more about being a trusted partner for them. When you're a founder and you're in this unknown world of kind of building a company, especially for the first time, you have no idea what it means to kind of like handle your accounting, handle your payroll tax registrations, handle kind of like your 83Bs. How do you optimize for QSBS? And all those little things ultimately compound to be really, really important for a business. As a founder, if you take advantage of QSBS, you can save roughly up to $10 million in tax-free gains when you sell your company. And so not only do we do daily accounting, weekly accounting, monthly accounting for all of our clients and ship their books faster than anyone, but we're a trusted partner that's there for them. So every single client of ours has a dedicated Slack channel or another medium if they prefer it, i.e. Telegram or Discord for our crypto native clients. And we're just always there. I pride ourselves on being the most responsive firm kind of like in the entire market. And previously in my career, I worked with some folks from Goldman Sachs, and Goldman has a mantra of responding to clients within 15 minutes, no matter fucking what. And we're cut from the same cloth at Haven. And I basically instilled that culture within our team. And no matter if we don't have whether or not we have an answer to a client's question in real time, we're going to get that answer, but we're going to let them know in real time that we're there for them. We're proactively here helping, supporting them, et cetera. And just guiding them along the journey. There's so many things that they don't know, and there's so many things that they don't need to deal with. And the most important thing for them to do is spend all their time on product and growth. And we help alleviate a lot of the other burdens that they kind of like need to undertake as a business owner and as a founder. And that's us.
So when you think about doing that, that sounds like a great mission. Obviously, you know, there's this over-indexing on quality or kind of customer service. How do you do it? It's one thing to say we're going to respond to everyone in 15 minutes, but obviously you've got to either build systems or you got to have, you know, a gazillion employees, or like, what is the secret sauce to being able to do this?
So it's really a process-oriented approach. So you set up incentive structures internally for your team that basically prompt them to ensure we have the highest NPS in the accounting industry, no matter what. And what I mean by that is basically a bonus structure that ensures that if our team has responded to clients faster than anyone else in the world, they're going to get compensated for it. And setting that up from day one so that the team is highly, highly incentivized to ensure that we prioritize the customer above all else. And in addition to that, there's also like using modern technology to kind of like automate a lot of the mundane, repetitive, laborious components involved in running a firm like this. So we've got tens, hundreds of ideas around how to automate a lot of the workflows that are involved in kind of like running an accounting firm. Everything from programmatically sending out statements and financials at scale, the click of a button, to programmatically being able to have clients provide us with descriptions to transactions that we don't know how to categorize because they didn't have a label. Programmatically being able to data match and handle reconciliation in an autonomous fashion so that we can get books to clients faster than anyone else. So it's a hybrid approach of building an exceptional team and incentivizing them accordingly, and then building technology to be able to support that.
Yeah. Now, you said that you guys raised money. I gave you some money. A lot of other people gave you money. But it's weird. You want to build a venture scalable business, but you're profitable and you're doing a service. So talk about how you think about those three things mixing together. Like what are taking three ingredients and creating, you know, the final meal? How do you do it?
Yeah, so I've spent my entire career in startups. Was the first business hire at Miel, was roughly employee 45 at Main Street, which is a tax credit company. And while I was there, got the opportunity to work with hundreds of amazing founders. And so during that journey, I watched so many exceptional founders raise a bunch of money and try to go build a business. And I was like, that's interesting. That's cool. In a lot of instances, 99% of the time, that doesn't work out. And so when I left my job at Meow to build my own company, I wanted to build a very different company than anyone else has like ever built. One where we can write our own destiny. We will be successful whether or not we can raise more money or not. And we have the ability to just revolutionize an industry in a fundamentally different way than every other business has. And so the reason we're raising money and we raise money, even though we're profitable, is because if you want to build a fucking massive business, man, you better have people in your corner who can help you kind of open all those doors, bang down all those doors. We need to get into every single ecosystem in front of every single founder, in front of every single entrepreneur. And the only way to do that at the end of the day is to weaponize your capital, to incentive align amazing people across a variety of different ecosystems to help you truly revolutionize the way that a mundane, repetitive, laborious industry has been run for the past 100+ years. And so, to make a long story short, the reason we're raising is because we want to build a fucking huge business, and we want people in our corner to help us do that.
Talk a little bit as to kind of traditional, you know, infrastructure, software, and kind of products mixed with kind of crypto, right? You obviously, you were at Meow, that a lot of the crypto industry sees kind of the changing of a currency, the changing of these payment rails, also maybe even like the automation and AI that's now coming into the space. Like, how do you view some of these kind of frontier technologies?
Great question. So this is core to kind of the way that we're building Haven. So we're not going to be a platform that is agnostic on top of just QuickBooks, or agnostic on top of just Xero, or agnostic on top of just NetSuite, or agnostic on top of just Bitwaves, or Integral, or other crypto accounting related tools. Our platform is going to be built on top of all of those different tools. And so we're going to be able to provide an experience for clients at scale that puts their mind at ease and enables them to get back to doing like what matters most, which is building their business, focusing on product, and focusing on their customers. And crypto is just one part of that. And it's also a really important part to us personally, me and my co-founder specifically. We've been in crypto since 2016. And we've loved it basically as long as we can remember since like we first found out about it. When I was in college with my roommates, never actually got it off the ground, but we were ideating on creating like a crypto hedge fund and had a blast with it. And we have tons of crypto clients as things stand today, companies like Parcel, Ansible Labs, and many others. And I think a lot of people, for better or worse, shy away from working with the industry, but it is the new frontier of traditional or just financial services in general. And if you don't appeal to kind of like that market, you're just hindering your TAM drastically. And if you don't have crypto native people on your team as things stand today, and you're building in fintech, man, oh man, that's a big mistake, because it is going to change the future of financial services.
Let's talk about kind of your longer term vision, and then we'll talk about what you're actually doing from an operations standpoint today. But what does this look like in 10 years if you're successful?
So in 10 years, if we're successful, we've dominated the world of tax, not just in the US, but globally. So unlike every other accounting firm or accounting startup, I should say, whether it's Pilot or Zenny or some of these other players, they don't do global accounting. What do I mean by that? They don't help their domestic clients who have subsidiaries across the world with the accounting for those subsidiaries. And so our competitive wedge to the market is basically we do global accounting. So we handle the subsidiaries of our clients that are in Australia or in like the UK, we handle all of the accounting there and then push it together from a consolidation perspective with their US financials so that we give them the ability to have one firm, one point of contact to manage all their financials end to end. And how do we get to do that? I was lucky enough to convince an awesome guy named Scott Clark, who's the first accounting manager ever at Pinterest, then the VP of Finance and Corp Controller at Zenefits, and the VP of Finance and Corp Controller at Lime, who, when he was at Lime, did international accounting for a business that had 50 plus international entities, and knows this stuff like the back of his hand, and it's given us a big leg up when it comes to differentiating ourselves against like the competition. And if you look at Gusto and Deel, Gusto would probably be a $20, $30 billion company today if they had decided to go into the global payroll market much earlier. Now I think they're leveraging remote under the hood to kind of like offer global payroll and EOR services, but it's a huge untapped market. And especially if the world's becoming increasingly remote, it's something we want to take advantage of. And I'm going to set ourselves up for a ton of success because the best businesses in the world have global teams. You look at all the Fortune 100 companies. They have offices all over the world. And then the other thing to note is that across America, accounting is relatively a dying industry. The number of CPAs per year is substantially less than it used to be. And a lot of the mom and pop CPAs across America are run by elder folks in their latter years of their career, and they don't have any opportunity for an earn out or a roll up or an exit. And a player like us coming into the fold, who will ultimately raise like a large debt facility to go after folks like that and give them the opportunity to have a liquidity event and set themselves up for the rest of their lives, while also giving their clients a home or a new home that is extremely technologically efficient and very tech forward, to let them get back to doing what matters most, which is building their business and focusing on profit.
As you go after this vision, obviously you've got to be able to operate the business. It's very up tempo, kind of accelerated view of building and servicing these clients. What are some of the things that you all do that maybe would be different or unique in most people's eyes that you think really has allowed you to optimize and operate in this way?
Hands down, number one is customer service. We're maniacal about it. It is the one thing that matters most. If we don't know an answer to a client's question, we're 100% going to respond to them as fast as humanly possible to let them know we're on it and we're going to get them an answer. Not everyone knows the answers in real time, but we basically want to get rid of the days where accountants and CPAs and tax professionals don't answer their clients because they're too busy. They don't know the answer in real time. They need to go look it up. They need to talk to one of their partners. And I think that when you're in the financial services world and you don't provide an exceptional level of customer service, you start to let doubt set into the mind of your clients. If you touch someone's money in any capacity, and you don't respond to them, the thoughts that start to trickle into their head are my taxes being hit? Are my finances okay? Are my books going to get done on time? Are my franchise taxes going to be handled? And you've lost trust in that moment. And the most core fundamental element of financial services and providing exceptional financial service is providing an exceptional service quality. And not forgetting that these two are people on both ends of the table, and making sure that you keep the top of mind for every step of the equation.
And then what about like internal operations, right? Are there certain things you guys do around meetings, a certain way that you kind of organize your day, or a certain way you all communicate that really empowers this?
Good question. So we've built a lot of workflows within our Slack channels that connect to all of our different systems and tools to, I'm not going to call it autonomously, but to some level programmatically enable us to onboard clients at scale in a frictionless manner, get them onboarded faster than they otherwise would have with like another partner. And we built out robust onboarding flows, which collect as much information as humanly possible from the client. So there's much less friction when it comes to onboarding clients into like our practice. And so that's like one core element to what we do. And then we built out internal knowledge bases, which detail basically any and all client questions historically, so that when a new client asks the same question, even if our team doesn't know the answer or hasn't encountered that question before, they can go to our internal knowledge repo and get an answer to that question and provide it to them. And so doing things like that is going to enable our team to provide a really, really high quality service at scale for startups, SMBs, companies all across America. And
And then when you think about the people that you're bringing onto the team, how do you vet, you know, who's got what it takes? How do you know this is a person that we want inside the company, is going to protect our company culture and help us achieve our vision?
The two most important things that I optimize for when hiring people is trust and hunger. And determining trust is definitely tough, but there's a few different ways to do it. You basically fact check who they are, what they've done, what their work experience has been with their previous employers. And then, but the most important thing that I index on is hunger. And the way that I sniff for that is really just a person to person. Can I smell it on you? And typically within 5 minutes, I have the ability to determine, does this person have the chops, have the hunger to put all their chips on the table and really get into the weeds and help us build a $1 trillion company? And there's other little tips and tricks like cold calling people on the weekend who are in your hiring process to see if they'll answer and see how fast they'll respond, and calling them at random times to understand what moves them, what makes them tick, how hungry are they. And aside from that, every other skill in my mind is pretty teachable. And once we find people who have those two characteristics, We are of the belief that we can train them and teach them how to do everything else to a really, really high bar. But it's really just a top-down approach when it comes to hiring and finding great people. Are you maniacal, obsessed about not only like your company as a founder, but about the type of employees and people that you hire? And I think obsessive, maniacal people attract those types of people. And it's not for everyone, but you can sniff that when you're going through an interview process.
Are there specific things people say or do? Like how do you figure out, is this person that obsessed, maniacal person?
So I just hired our first growth lead. He's basically going to be a startup athlete. What I mean by that, he's going to do everything from growth to ops to finance to sales, partnership, etc. And when I was interviewing him, albeit he came through a very trusted partner and friend and investor in Haven, but he told me the story of when he was interviewing for a former role where they asked him if he really, really wanted it. And what did he do? The kid flew to New York and waited outside their office, and emailed them and said, "I'm outside your office, let's chat." And he got an offer basically like the next day or that day. And when I met him and he told me that story, I was like, "You're cut from the same cloth as I am." And it's those little things that you pick up on, that you understand, that you see, that people say, that really impress upon you how maniacal, how hungry, how obsessed they are. But it's not a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. It's really context-dependent. Everyone's different. Everyone has their own level of hunger, their own level of obsession. And it's just, how good are you as a founder or like a hiring manager to isolate and figure that out?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then as you evaluate customers, is it just like every customer is a fit, or is there some sort of evaluation framework there to know that, you know, you guys operate a certain way? And so you need specific types of customers to kind of fit in there and be a good service partner.
Great question. So at the onset of working with a client, we do what I like to call an analysis if they're a full-fledged operating business that's not like brand new. And that involves typically getting access to their QuickBooks, doing an analysis slash review of their historical financials, and making sure that they've been done well so that we can take the process over, not only improve it, but also operationalize it, make it more efficient, and help them get to the next level of their business. And that basically does weed out some clients from working with us. But it's totally okay. There's 30 million plus small businesses, SMBs, startups, et cetera, in America. And one that we can't work with just leaves a giant ocean for us to go after. But at the earliest stages, when a company's just getting started, they don't have any accounting or bookkeeping infrastructure in place, we can pretty much work with literally anyone. Why? Because there hasn't been any bad habits or bad accounting processes implemented, which would hinder a firm like us from taking things over and helping them reach their maximum potential.
Got it. And then in terms of the customers who are a really, really good fit for you, what are you able to do? Do you save them money? Do you save them time? Like what's kind of the impact? And I always think about this from the perspective of like, how do they measure whether you're being successful, right? Are there certain metrics that they should be looking at internally for themselves?
All the above. We can save them time, money, et cetera. On the saving the money side of things, we help all of our startup clients with the R&D credit. The R&D credit is basically a tax credit implemented by the federal government that enables startups to claim up to $500,000 per year as a payroll credit. What does that mean? You don't need to be profitable. You don't need to generate any income. You don't need to have an income tax liability. You can use the credit to offset your payroll tax liability. Specifically, every time you run payroll, you're paying 7.65% in FICA taxes on behalf of your employees. The way the credit works, it's going to reimburse you for that. So that's a ton of unknown, left alone sort of savings that we help our clients take advantage of. And then on a monthly cadence, as our team does a review and closes the books for clients, we're analyzing their vendors to determine, okay, maybe this vendor you no longer need because it's redundant across some other vendors that you're using. You can eliminate that from your stack. And then if we notice that clients don't have their idle cash earning interest, we highly recommend that they get their idle cash into T-bills or a money market account, something that's super safe, but also enables them to take advantage of the high interest rate environment that we're in And then there's other miscellaneous things that pop up when you're building a company. Oh, I just hired a new employee in North Dakota. Do I need to go and register with the Department of State, Department of Labor, Department of Revenue in North Dakota? How do I do that? Typically, accounting firms will be like, hey, that's just not what we do. Like, we can't help you. You can go look it up on the internet or something. But we take that as an opportunity to build trust with our clients. So we have the dedicated Slack channel with every single client and encourage them to reach out with any question that pops up, with any business building question that pops up. And that gives them peace of mind when it comes to like working with us, but also enables us to go above and beyond for each and every single one of them. And yeah, I think that's super important.
Talk to us about the fundraise. Who, how much, what details can you share?
Yeah, so ended up raising our pre-seed roughly, I was targeting 750K, oversubscribed to basically 800. Why do we raise such a little amount of capital? Because we're profitable and we've been profitable since day one. Haven reached over $1 million in top line, over $1 million in top line without raising a dollar. And that really set the business up for success for the long term. When we went out to raise, we had $200,000 in idle cash just sitting in the bank waiting to be deployed into growth, product, et cetera, et cetera. And we went out to raise to align strategic partners who can help us get to a whole nother level and who can help us get into every single ecosystem in front of every single founder, in front of every single entrepreneur. And so we ended up raising from awesome folks like yourself, Charlie Fang, the founder of Clearco, Eric Baum, the founder of Hustle Fund, Arthur Ramathuri, Sri Ramakrishna's wife, from A16Z, Lauren Isford from Notion, and a bunch of principals, partners, GPs, managing partners at a variety of different venture funds all across the ecosystem. Why? Because those people are talking to founders all day long, all the time. And they then become an extension of the Haven team and family and part of our sales flywheel ecosystem that helps us break down every door, get into every single nook and cranny of the kind of like startup accounting world. And yeah, but we'll probably likely go out and raise our seed in the fall. And that's going to come in tandem with a lot of new exciting product developments, things around doing employee taxes and taxes for exec teams. And then ultimately give us 12 to 24 months. We'll probably layer on things like equity planning, liquidity planning, and financial advisory services for businesses and their teams.
If you have 30 seconds to pitch potential clients, what's the pitch as to why they should come work with Haven?
Yeah, so starting from my story, I've been an entrepreneur for as long as I can remember. My dad worked in private equity for about 20 years, quit his job when I was 12, and I had a courtside seat to watching him build all of his companies. And from my dorm room in college, I built my first business. Before I knew what sales or cold calling was, I was looking at businesses on Google Maps and cold calling them, trying to convince them to let me do their social media marketing, build their websites, et cetera. And I'm an entrepreneur at heart forever. And the reason to come work with Haven is because we're entrepreneurs first, we're an accounting team second. So we know how important it is to move at light speed when it comes to building your business. We know how important it is to have a trusted partner who gets everything done on time without delay ever. And so if you want the most maniacal, obsessed, attentive, proactive accounting team for your business, Haven's where you should go. And that's us.
Where can we send people to find Haven on the internet? And then also if they want to follow along with you.
Yeah, so we're at usehaven.com. And then on Twitter, I'm at Cyrus845. And then on LinkedIn, I'm just Cyrus Shirazi. And yeah, and then on Twitter, our Twitter handle is usehaven.com. Just usehaven. And
yeah. Awesome. I'm excited to see what you guys build. Obviously a big fan. I've been telling every company I know, hey, go check this out. And hopefully some of the folks who run companies that are listening to this right now, they'll come and knock on your door. You guys can provide a great service and you'll build a great big business. So I appreciate you coming on and we'll definitely do this again in the future.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. It was great to be here.